Did you have a chance to look into that issue that John?
I'll get on it. I've been doing something.
Thank you. That's the point. Should be part of the development of the process. And I know Mike's kind of aware of that.
But the applicants didn't know that it was dirt.
So where?
I'll just make you think of it. I'll just make a commission or just something like that.
Most people just think of it as the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Not the actual. I'll just make a note.
I'll see you dressed up.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Really?
I know.
Sure, I know what to do. Oh, really? Tell her she needs to stay. I mean, what, like 1 out of 12 or something? But it's tough. I know. I have 4 games left.
Next Friday, next Saturday. One against Pittsburgh, one against the Dodgers in September.
Which right now? I'll leverage it a little bit here.
You're dreaming, but okay, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling today's July 12th public hearing of the Mariposa County Planning Commission to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. But before we begin that, at the conclusion of the Pledge of Allegiance, I would ask that you remain standing because I have a few words to say. I will ask Commissioner Becker to lead us in the flag salute. This is a very unique day for us because, as you may know, we lost one of our own. This past Saturday night at 7:52 p.m., a great big light, a great big heart went out of Mariposa County. For the past 5-something years, it had been my profound honor to work on this commission with Bob Ruzick. Bob, however, and I went back many, many years before that, and as a matter of fact, when Jim Allen asked me to serve as his commissioner, my first thought was, oh boy, I would love to, just because I will get to have a lot of fun with my pal Bob. And Bob was one hell of a lot of fun. Whether we were, as we so often did, having our little spar over politics. We were completely directly opposed when it came to politics, but boy, there was nobody that you could have a great discussion with and who would still respect your beliefs and in fact, maybe even change his own a little bit, like my pal Bob. Bob was such a noble man, a really brilliant man. He was one of those kind of people that if you spoke with him for 2 minutes, you were his friend. That's all it took. He had a heart as huge as the Kansas sky he was born under. Matter of fact, he would have been 81 years old next Wednesday. And, you know, I'm so glad that this planet had him for 80 years. I'm so glad that our county had him for 19. I'm so glad that this commission had him for 18. He leaves a huge, huge hole that, you know, will never be filled, but I just wanted to honor my friend, your commissioner, and, you know, one of Mariposa's finest citizens on our loss. Thank you. You may be seated. We will begin with minutes approval from our Friday, June 20th. First Hearing, gentlemen, any notes, corrections? In that case, it appears we might be ready for a motion. We have a motion by Commissioner Harris. Do we have a second? We have a second by Commissioner Becker. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. The minutes are approved as submitted. At this point, I'd like to explain how our procedures work. Initially, at this point, if you have any item that you would like to discuss with us that is of importance or impact to this commission but is not on today's agenda, this is your opportunity. You may come up. You may speak, have your say. If you would like to sign in and state your name clearly for the record, it's not legally required, but it is helpful to us. So if anybody has anything you'd like to tell us, now's your chance. Seeing no mad rush for the mic, I will then begin. No, thank you. You had your chance, Mr. Supervisor. At this point, however, this is the usual procedure for our public hearings. We have agendas and supporting documentation on the table in the back, or at least I hope we do. The way each item will work is staff will present their report. After this commission has had its chance to ask simple questions for clarification, I will then open for public comment. At that point, you may come forward, speak on the item at hand. At the conclusion of the public comment period, I will then close that period and bring it back to this body for deliberation and any potential action. And that's the way it works. Not too tough at all. And with that, I would like to open our public hearings with item A, resolution recommending that the Board of Supervisors adopt a negative declaration and approve zoning amendment number 2013-053, etc. Alvaro, it's yours. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Like you said, this is a zoning amendment application number 2013-053. And conditional use permit number 2013-054. These applications are processed together because the approval of one will authorize the ability to act on the other. Some changes to the staff report or requests for changes to the Planning Commission. There's some things where I might have misspelled PM for some reason as PAM, so just clarify that. It's 10 p.m. is when the quiet time will be enforced.
Right, that's page 13 of the staff report.
The applicant did request in a telephone conversation that they would like to have the hours changed for phase one from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's something that the Planning Commission will have to make a decision on. Also, to clarify in the staff report, bottled water will be available, but it will be for purchase. And there was also a suggestion brought up that maybe a courtesy notice could be sent to neighboring properties at the beginning of each season of events. Again, the Planning Commission may consider adding this to the conditions of approval. The project is located at 2759 Ranchito Drive in the Don Pedro area and is also known as APN 020-290-004. And the back property line is borders Tuolumne County. Just a general vicinity map. This is where Tuolumne County begins. This is an aerial image of the project site. You can see this is where the existing arena is, the existing house, existing barn. Okay, the existing zoning is rural residential, and the land use is residential in the Don Pedro planning study area. The zoning amendment application proposes to amend the conditional use section, the conditional uses section of Chapter 17.16, which is a rural residential zone, to list public stables and arenas on parcels 15 acres in size or greater, where arenas may be used for organized competitive events. The conditional use permit proposes to use an existing 300-foot by 150-foot arena for organized and or competitive equestrian, canine, and livestock events, along with pertinent training and educational events between May and November. The project is proposed to be developed in three phases. Just a general overview of phase one, they're going to use the existing arena and warm-up area. They'll provide up to 34 parking spaces. Portable restrooms will be provided. Temporary pop-up canopy for use as a snack shack. A self-contained fifth-wheel travel trailer with generator will serve as an announcer's booth. There will be up to 30 competitors and 30 spectators per event, 4 to 6 employees, 2 days per week maximum, lasting no more than 8 hours from 7 a.m., and if the Planning Commission approves a change, to 9 p.m. Phase two, they'll add more parking spaces, install rental stalls, construct an announcer's booth. They will bring in portable bleachers and construct a permanent restroom facility. It'll increase up to 50 competitors and spectators, 3 days per week, no more than 8 hours from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Some of the events may be two-day events, and competitors will use self-contained vehicles overnight with a quiet time between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Lighting is proposed to be installed on the arena. For phase three, there'll be an increase in number of parking spaces available. There'll be an installation of a permanent snack shack with indoor seating. They'll be installing new gates, second set of portable bleachers if needed, up to 80 competitors, 80 spectators, 4 days a week maximum, lasting no more than 8 hours per day. Some of the events would be three-day events, with competitors stay overnight in self-contained vehicles. A quiet time would be enforced at 10 p.m. 10 to 15 employees are expected, and the 10 to 15 employees does not include employees for food service. This is the proposed site plan. It's not very, you can't see very well here, but there's different colors for the different proposed phases. This is the general area where the parking will be. This is the existing arena, existing house. So the rental stalls, warm-up area. For all phases, the applicants will live on site and manage the business. The applicants will provide dust control through the use of sprinklers and water wagons. Public address system will only be used as needed, and events will conclude by 10 p.m. Quiet time will be enforced commencing at 10 p.m., and grass and parking areas will be mowed to 3 inches or less. With regards to agency comments, the few that we did receive was, one of them was that they would need to apply for a commercial encroachment permit from Public Works. The other one was with regards to the portable toilets, and these require written permission from the health department, and they are subject to time limits before the permanent restroom facility will have to be installed. There was also comments with regards to existing septic system and the proposed septic systems. Zoning feasibility. The existing zoning would not allow the intended commercial activities proposed on the site. The proposed zoning amendment will allow for applications for a conditional use permit for public stables and arenas on parcels 15 acres in size or greater. The project is accessed by way of Ranchito Drive. Applicants will have to apply for a commercial encroachment permit from Public Works. And also, one of the conditions requires that the applicant submit a parking and circulation plan that shows all the proposed parking spaces and travel aisles to ensure that there'll be a smooth traffic flow and emergency vehicles will be able to get in and out of the project site without any impediments. With regards to utilities, currently the property uses a well. They are located within the Lake Don Pedro Community Services District, and I believe they also have a connection that is currently shut off. If water from the services district is to be used by the project, the applicants will have to obtain permits and meet any requirements from the community services district before that occurs. Public comments. In the staff report packet, there were several letters of support. This morning, we did receive one email that was in opposition to the project. And I gave it to you this morning. Hopefully, you've had a chance to review it. Again, the Planning Commission's role is to also look at the compatibility of the use with the general area. So as part of that comment, the Planning Commission can make changes to conditions or recommend additional conditions to ensure that the project will in fact be compatible. In conclusion, staff would recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending that the Board of Supervisors adopt a negative declaration and approve zoning amendment number 2013-053 with findings, and approve conditional use permit number 2013-054 with findings and conditions. And before I wrap that up, I do have some pictures of the site. So this is the existing encroachment driveway. The fire hydrant is located right around here.
And so we are looking from the driveway.
We're looking from the gate towards Ranchito Drive.
Thanks.
This is a view of that big parking area. I believe they use this, they mow and get hay for their horses out of this area.
And our view here is basically north towards Tuolumne County?
We're on Ranchito Drive. Tuolumne County eventually comes over here, but this is all Mariposa County.
Right, right. But that's the direction we're facing.
Yeah. So Ranchito Drive's here towards the golf course. This is another view of that same area. This is towards the back, heading towards the arena. This is currently where the leach lines are for the septic system for the house. This is the existing barn. This is a view towards the warm-up area. This is the existing arena that will be used for the project. And this is kind of where the announcer's booth and bleachers, when they're installed, will be located, kind of in this general area. And I think back in this area is where the proposed snack shack and restroom facilities will be constructed. And we're back to beginning. So that concludes my presentation.
Thank you so much. I have a few questions, but first a comment, and I'm sorry that I neglected to point this typo out. Page 22, it's a very minor one. Page 22, under item 3, the third sentence begins with the word commercial. There's an errant N on the end of commercial that we need to get rid of, just to clean things up a bit. Had a question, and this... Let's see, I had this arise on my page, staff page 21. The lighting was addressed, and I believe that the lighting was described as lighting that will be on the barn, but I could not find, or at least I don't recall having seen any other reference to any other lighting that would be installed elsewhere on the property, at least in phase one. So is it your understanding that all the lighting that will be utilized will simply be the lighting that's going to be on the barn?
There's the lighting on the barn is existing. They're proposing, and again, the color didn't quite turn out as well on the site plan. They're proposing new lighting on the arena.
What phase would that be?
That would be phase two.
Okay.
So that would be, as far as my knowledge, that would be the next lighting, and that would be the extent of it on the arena.
Got it. Gentlemen, any questions for Al?
I have a couple.
Sure.
Thanks,
Commissioner Harris.
Does the county have any responsibilities to interact with Tuolumne County on this project in any way, since we're right on the line?
I did send notice to the Tuolumne County Planning Department and also included the neighboring properties within our noticing radius that fell on the Tuolumne County side. So they did receive information on the project.
And there was no response?
And actually, the comment that we did get this morning is from a Tuolumne County resident.
That's what I was going to. That was my other question. This
yes.
is a TM County resident. Okay. And does Tuolumne County have any official process to represent one of their residents in this project, given this comment at a later date or at some point?
The project is before the Mariposa County Planning
right.
Commission, and therefore even Tuolumne County residents at this point in time would have to make comments to our Planning Commission.
Okay.
The only other, like I said, we did send it to the Tuolumne County Planning Department, and they didn't really have any comments other than to ensure that we notified residents on the Tuolumne County side.
Okay.
If this project were impacting, say, a Tuolumne County maintained road or a service that was provided by Tuolumne County, then it would be appropriate that a Tuolumne County agency would provide comment to you, the decision maker, as lead agency. But other than that, typically the property owners would just voice their concerns directly to you.
Okay. So we don't know if this latest comment has been seen by Tuolumne County Planning?
No. We do not know if they were copied on
that. So we don't know if anything is going to come out of this. I'm just trying to feel my way through the one comment that we seem to have that's in opposition but in another county. Okay.
Well, and it would seem to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that comment would be treated simply as another comment from a member of the public. There's no real bearing beyond, you know, the property line is irrelevant in this case. The fact that she is in Tuolumne County.
Yeah, she's you just treat her as a potentially affected property owner of a neighboring parcel.
Exactly. And I was really impressed with something I saw on the circle page or on 35, and that is the offer that was made by the applicant to allow CAL FIRE, Mariposa County Fire, and other fire departments to use the event center as a staging and planning area at no cost. Was this an offer made by the applicant, or was there any sort of a suggestion? Was this simply out of the blue?
As far as I know, it was suggested by the applicant.
And just from my memory, they do have the well on the property, and I believe I recall seeing it was 150 gallons per minute. Was that correct, or am I?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. Oh yeah, there it is on the same page. Yeah, that's a pretty decent flow rate. Very well then. Do we have any further questions?
I have a couple more.
Oh, please go right ahead.
The first phase is limiting or projecting 30. Visit 30 spectators. How is that number arrived at, and how is that going to be maintained?
That was provided by the applicants. Most of these time with these projects, staff's suggestion to applicants is that they keep a log of the number of people attending the events, so they can keep better track of where they are currently in the phases, especially when some of the phases hinge on the number of competitors and spectators.
So the applicants, and maybe somebody in the applicant audience here can answer this question, they don't anticipate any events where more than 30, I'm thinking about the issue of the water and parking and access and all those sort of things with the phase one, that 30 spectators is going to be the max, plus or minus. It just seems with 30 contestants that 30 spectators might be a bit low given the number of parking spaces available. Just wonder if that number can get up to 50, 60 on a particular event during the phase one process. Just a thought, because it affects the other utility systems and noise and those sorts of things.
I think with any new business, there's going to be some trial and error, and they're going to just have to monitor their numbers. And if they're pushing the numbers that are allowed into the first phase, they're going to either have to limit some of their contestants, or they're going to have to look to the conditions required by phase two and bite the bullet and comply with conditions for phase two before they continue to hold events.
That's where I was headed with that. Thank you. I didn't see any language in this, and I mentioned this to you before the meeting. I saw no language in there or comments about accessibility other than the portable toilets, specifically with paths of travel to and from the parking area, the grandstands, wherever else might be a public access. And I assume the building department will cover that in their building permit process, but I wanted to make that comment that normally grass and dirt does not meet the ADA requirements for a path of travel for the disabled persons. So I just want to get that on the record that I hope that gets covered during the building permit process as well, including designated parking spots, food service. I mean, there's a lot of items there that are not readily available during this initial phase that I'm sure will come up rather quickly during the permit process. And the last comment I have, and I had made the note in the answer this morning, that the bottled water would be available for purchase. I got a little bit of a concern with that, given that we've got 150-gallon per minute well, and we've got, there is a public water system potentially available, yet anybody who's going to want water has to buy it on site. I assume that's, I don't assume, I'm confident that's a public health department issue, but I do have a concern about people having to buy drinking water. I'm sure the livestock and the horses won't be buying that, other than maybe through their entry fees or whatever other costs are being charged, but people have to buy their water. So I have a concern about that. I think that's it.
Thank you. And I don't want to get into any of the deliberative process at this point, but I do think that a lot of the concerns that you've raised, and certainly that I have as well, may be best addressed by creating the mandatory one-year review and then potentially looking at annual reviews after that, because it is a new business, and it's going to be a matter of shaking out the bugs and finding out where the projections may not lie in line with reality. Do we have any other questions for staff? Seeing none, I am going to open this up for public comments. If there are any members of the public who would like to comment on this, including the agent, and the applicant, please feel forward to come up and tell us what you feel. Good morning.
And thank you all very much for your time this morning and consideration of our plan. And thank you, Alvaro and Merlin, for all your hard work. There are just a couple comments I wanted to make.
I'm sorry, just for us, could you tell us your name?
I'm Marla Kurtzman.
Nice to meet you, Marla.
Nice to meet you. The first had to do with a question on spectators. So often at equestrian events, a competitor will bring a family member with them. So we really don't expect that there would be a lot of cars, might be a couple, but typically a spouse, a child, or somebody will come with them and hang out for the day or just come to watch. So that was the reason that we added so many, is just in case they've got a couple kids and the spouse, and I'm going to spend the day in Mariposa. So I wanted to address that. The other thing is, there are a couple things on the current plan that we would like to consider having changed or modified. On page 17, item number 22, as there is no fly and odor problem existing today, we'd like to request that that sentence ends after services of a licensed vector control service.
Marla, just because it may not necessarily jibe with our page number, Al, do you have that page from our packet?
It should be packet page 26. Condition 22.
Condition 22, was it?
Condition 22.
Thanks. And I'm sorry, Marla, could you restate your...
Sure. So this is the line item that talks about the using best management practices for odor and vector control at all times. And if we're unable to control flies, then we shall retain services of a licensed vector control service. We'd like that section to end right there. So that's a request that we have. The other request that we have reflects to the timeline. It is currently at 3 years with a possible extension of 1.5 years. We would like that extended to 5 years with the possible extension of 1.5 years. And some of that has to do with it's late in the season, and as this is a seasonal business, it's kind of questionable if we'll how much time we'll have in business this year should this be approved. So we'd like a little extra leeway on that. And again, each phase is predicated on the success of the previous phase. So we need a little time to get up and running between what's left of this season and next. So that's another request we have. And the last thing I'd like to just say in support of this project is right now from the Lake Don Pedro area up through Yosemite, Mariposa and its neighboring counties are home to a lot of equestrians and a lot of farmers and ranchers with their livestock. It's really interesting that to us, and one of the reasons we wanted to create what we've proposed here is that we do see a great need in the community. You have a horse-friendly area and no event center that the community can come together, where 4-H and FFA can hold events easily. That is for the intention of those type of events almost exclusively. And that being able to have a place for the community to go will actually make it a lot more horse-friendly and hopefully draw more to the area. When I lived, my husband and I lived right here in town off of Hirsch Road, I was one of the many people that could be seen between 49 and 140 there on the corner leaving every Saturday morning to go outside of Mariposa County, heading to Merced and to Turlock and to Ceres and Livingston to go to events. What if those people were actually staying in Mariposa County and bringing them and their families and their livestock and having a fun day there instead? And what could that do to the county instead of watching people leave, watching people come in? So that's just another consideration that we certainly had, and we hope that you will as well. I think that was it. Oh, I'm sorry, one other thing had to do with the use of the generator. As Alvaro mentioned, we're proposing using a travel trailer in our very modest and humble phase one for basically the announcer's booth. We would also like overnight spectators in future phases to also be able to use generators. If they're staying overnight, they may have a dog with them or a child with them or grandma, grandpa. We want them to be able to be comfortable in those trailers. Those generators are quite quiet. These are the ones that are inside those horse trailers. They're the living quarters type of trailers. We would like them to be as comfortable as well, because it does get, as you saw, there's not a lot of shade out there. It gets really warm, so we would like them to be able to use those generators. That was in our original plan, and somehow it ended up removed in the subsequent draft.
Would those be like inverter generators?
I'm sorry?
Would those be like inverter generators, the ones that are, they actually can be set on an eco setting so they're only drawing as much power and then therefore running the RPMs down when they're not?
You know, I don't know each person's trailer, right, but I know the ones that are generally living quarters and self-contained. You know, they are quiet and they're made, right, for that, so that they could be just like an RV park or an RV trailer. They're made to be quiet and to be within the guidelines of noise. So nobody has one of those big loud construction ones that they're toting around. Right. They're self-contained.
Okay. Marlo, I have a question. Looking at your proposed project, it looks like the closest habitation is about 100 yards to the east. Has there been any comment from those, from that property owner?
You know, it's interesting. We actually went around to all our neighbors. We introduced or reintroduced ourselves. In many cases, we were able to ride there because we are part of that trail system. We actually talked to the husband of the person that sent that letter, and he said he was very supportive, that, you know, he thought it was a great idea. And we also encouraged him, if he had any issues, to please knock on our door, and we'd be happy to sit down. So we were quite surprised this morning, because we actually spoke with all of our neighbors personally. So, I'm kind of surprised. I do know they have that motorcycle track next door, so maybe it, I have no idea. But we did have a conversation with them, and it was quite pleasant.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And the motorcycle track, how would you describe the sound from that, the dust problems that they've had? Is that an issue?
I don't see it as an issue, but I'm thankful. I've got goats making noise on one side. We have motorcycle track on the other, barking dogs. It's a rural area, and that's what, right, it was for. So we don't take any issue with them at all.
Okay. Gentlemen, do you have any other questions for Marla?
So just to be clear, you're wanting to do the change, the gensets for the RVs be allowed, and that would be after the TPM or 10 o'clock p.m. quiet time, correct? Or
no, not after it, before
up until.
Up until.
Okay.
So we absolutely believe that a 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. quiet period should be enforced, period.
Yeah. That's a standard for RV.
Yes, we travel, we go to RV parks,
I do too.
We appreciate that, so we know 10 p.m., right, it's all good.
Just want to make that clear. Thank you.
And do you have anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, just thank you all very much for your time, and we're hopeful we can move forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who would like to talk to us on this issue?
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Christina Hansen, and I'm a resident of the Lake Don Pedro subdivision. I moved up there 11 years ago because it was a community that was an equestrian community. and I found that they had a phenomenal trail system, so unique and so diverse that other areas don't have. The other thing I did is also become a leader with a local 4-H club. And I was the leader for the horse project and the dog care and training project for 2.5 years. But I don't think that program is sustaining very well. The horse project, I ended up leaving. There was just no facility to be able to get kids on horseback and continue with the program. So currently there is no project. And the local high school, I'm also on the parent club. We have a great FFA program. No place, you know, for the kids to do any local practicing and showing and whatnot. So I just think we have a gem up there already with the trail system. We have, I believe, 122 miles of phenomenal trail system, but no equestrian center. And I think with an equestrian center, it's also going to bring more people wanting to come to the area. So that was just what I wanted to say. And I'm really, really hoping that, you know, it will happen.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public? Morning.
My name is Marcia Cruz, and I live in the Mariposa County as well, and I've lived there about 3 years. And like she just stated, there's no place for events. We have a fellow up there who shows goats all over the country and globally, and he could use that event center. There's a lot of people who'd like to do sorting, barrel racing, any kind of equestrian or other animal event, and instead of traveling outside the community, this will bring revenues to the community and attention to the community. And every time I've ever been to an event, whether it's a horse event or a concert, I have to buy my own water and go to the porta potty, so I'm really not worried about either of those two provisions. Most of us aren't. So I just want to advocate this project for our community. I think it would do everyone a world of good to keep the kids busy and out of trouble. There have been a lot of concerns about some of the teenagers. If they can get another activity going in the community, less likely for them to be out there doing some of those naughty things. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further comments? Supervisor Jones, good morning.
Good morning. My name's Jones. I think I'm supposed to say my name right.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. Thank you. Could you spell Jones for us, please? No.
Backwards. first of all, most of you don't know me from my previous occupations. So my qualifications, 15 years before I moved up here, I put on the largest rail race in the world for the last 4 years. I put on the largest team ropings in the Western United States. I know the Western industry. That's why I was able to retire a little bit earlier. It was very good to me. When I heard about this project, I got excited about it. Because this area up here, I think, was a perfect fit. The valley doesn't really have, there's a few arenas, but up here there is nothing. The trail system over in Don Pedro is a great trail system. But we need ways for people to have other activities. And I went out there, I heard about it, I went out there and I visited the site. I've been to between 50 and 100 different facilities. So I know where it will work and how it will work. I was impressed from day one because they had already started their arena as far as their personal use. They brought in sand. They're doing it the right way. I think this is a good fit for Mariposa County. And I know, because I sit up there once a week too, and I know decisions are tough to make because they're long term. I would hope that you would see fit to okay this project. Don't let previous projects in the past in the equestrian centers affect this project, and we'll just leave it at that, because these people are trying to do it the right way, and I've been out there numerous times, and I have a lot of faith that this will be a great facility and work great for Mariposa County.
I hate to throw you a softball, always, but...
Okay, as long as it's not a hardball.
Here's one. Okay. I think it's pretty soft. Throwing all subjectivity aside, in your honest, objective opinion, because we are talking about an alteration of zoning, do you feel that 15 acres is large enough for a minimum size for a project like this? Was that clear? I mean, that was a softball.
Yes, no.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a curve to that softball.
Yes, right. Mine just got hit, but anyway.
I'd be glad it wasn't my spitball.
Yeah, right, okay. But no, you know, and two, it all depends on what the greater long-term goals are. In talking to them, 15 acres is enough. And to me, this is something that if I didn't have the job I currently have, even though my wife may disagree with it, it's something that I always personally wanted to do and was going to do, but these folks are doing it kind of in my place, if that sounds right. So I applaud them. Will help them in any way, shape, or form, and I would hope to see fit that that the board will approve this. It is good for Mariposa County. Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment. Come on down. Good morning.
Terry Murphy. I live in Tuolumne County, and I moved up here about 3 years ago because I wanted to get into the horses and doing the gymkhanas, and there is nothing up where we live. So I think this endeavor and this project that these are trying to do is a great asset for our community, for both Tuolumne and Mariposa, and I'm just here to support it and hope that it goes through. Right now, I have to travel an hour to get to my shows, 2 hours, 3 hours, because there isn't anything in our own community. So to bring something like this to our own community, I think it would be a great investment and project for everyone to get into and enjoy. So thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry.
We have a question for you.
How close are you to the project?
I live on Merced Falls Road, which I run into Ranchito. Okay. So I don't know in miles how close I am, but I'd say 15 minutes down the road.
Yeah, okay. That's all. Oh, not that far.
2 miles.
Okay. There's a dispute among the two, I can tell that. Yes,
pardon?
No, that's fine. That's okay. Fine. Thank you.
I'm very close.
Thank you. Do we have any other members of the public who would like to address this issue? Going once. Going twice, not. Thank you. I'm now closing the public comment period and bringing it back to this body for deliberation and any further questions. Al, my first thought is, you know, we have had a request from the applicant for alterations to two of the conditions, and the also the idea of the generator usage. Would you see that as something that could be incorporated into the packet?
I mean, ultimately, it's up to you, the Planning Commission, what recommendation they see fit for that. It's. I mean, they're going to be shut off at 10 p.m. along with everything else. I assume the noise from the events is going to be going on during while the generators are in use as well. I mean, that's just kind of my thought process. But
yeah, I think the overall picture, the question the commission is facing, you know, you have two parts to your decision. One, as Les mentioned earlier, is the zoning amendment. You are being asked to change the text of the zoning to establish a new conditional use in the rural residential zone. That will be a choice then that's available to any property owner in the rural residential zone who owns a property over 15 acres in size. They would then be able to come and ask the commission for a conditional use permit for a similar facility. The second part, the conditional use permit, this is a parcel-specific, project-specific review where you're looking at this use, and a conditional use is different than a permitted use. Remember, in zoning, you have permitted uses, conditional uses, and prohibited uses. Permitted uses are allowed on every single parcel of land. Conditional uses are those uses that may or may not be appropriate on a parcel of land based on this parcel-specific, project-specific review. So it's up to you to look at the circumstances of the parcel, the circumstances of the project, evaluate all these things that Alvaro has laid out for you in the staff report, look at surrounding conditions, and determine whether or not you believe this is an appropriate use for this particular parcel, considering potential impacts on the community. So it is a case where you need to evaluate all of these issues.
Thank you, Sarah. And so, Al, my first question would be on condition 22, would you have any problem with striking the final sentence, beginning horse manure and bedding materials? Is there any reason that you can see that that would offend planning?
I think potentially the first part of the condition would cover any issues, because it requires the use of best management practices. So if they're composting the horse manure and bedding material and they're doing it to best management practices and they're not creating odor and vector nuisances, I think potentially the first two sentences would cover any issues. And if they were creating issues, they would be in violation of that condition.
Gentlemen, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think the first sentence, the best management practices, covers that last sentence. I mean, the last sentence is redundant, in my opinion.
I feel the same way.
And I would also remind you that our recommendation is that we have this ability to come back to the commission with an annual review, so that we will have the ability to address impacts and concerns based on the first year, the second year of operation. Because we aren't maybe...
Have a crystal ball to...
Exactly. Yeah.
No, and I think that's absolutely imperative. And as a matter of fact, that I was going to pretty much strong-arm everybody here to accept that as an additional condition, and to maybe perhaps even parse specific language, because I really do think we need an absolutely mandatory first-year review. And the question in my mind then is, if we want to institute mandatory annual reviews for a set period thereafter, or if we want to base our findings at that point on the results of the first annual review. If we have a first annual review that seems to take care of all of our questions and makes it seem as though this is a not only a going concern but is fulfilling all of the needs that we have placed upon it, at that point it may then be necessary for us to say, hey, everything's fine.
And I point that out because as we're maybe tweaking some of these conditions, this isn't, you know, with that condition in here, with the ability to come back and take a look after a year, it may give you some comfort level to know that we're going to have an ability to evaluate the operation after a year, listen to neighbors again after a year.
Yeah. And I must say that when I first received the packet, I was really, really very intrigued by the fact that we had so much support for this project. And, you know, I do need to pay very solemn attention to the one letter in opposition that we received this morning, certainly. But as with everything, I think it's a matter of balance and seeing the amount of support for the project overweighing, at least, not stamping on the rights of this one individual, but simply for us to be aware of those rights and making sure that there's anything that we can do to see if that person can be pleased. And I think that the applicant has made a large number of attempts to make sure that their events will not have an impact on neighbors. The other issue, I think that it would be nice to institute a way of informing all neighboring properties, and perhaps the distance, I think initially, maybe within 2,000 feet or what, or impacts on the road for the annual plans, the annual schedule, just so simply that the neighbors will be fully aware of what's going to be happening and when.
I mean, our noticing requirements typically require within 600 feet.
600 feet.
So if we had an annual review, it would be a public hearing. We would send out notice that the project is up for its annual review to those neighbors within 600 feet of the property.
Right, but what I'm saying is also, was there a condition or is there a way in which we can inform or set as a requirement that at the scheduling for the year's events can be made available to neighboring property owners? They won't have to seek it out themselves, but they will find out that this on these dates there's going to be an event. Is there any way of requiring that?
You could potentially require a condition that requires the applicant to notify neighbors within a certain radius of the project site, if that's what the planning commission...
I'm just not sure how well communication works out there if left to its own devices, but, you know, on the other hand, I don't know how my fellow commissioners...
I would think it behooved the applicants, given this discussion and the one-year review of the process, and quite honestly, you've done a great job laying out this project in these phases. I think it was very well done. I can see that you probably have a sense, you're probably thinking right now, how can we best make sure this first year goes really well? And that would be one of the components to do whatever outreach might be appropriate in your community and what those possibilities and avenues are, without us adding something specifically to follow up on as another item. Did you have a comment? Up the chair.
Yeah, please do come forward. I will reopen public comment for your addressing that issue. Please come forward.
And Mr. Harris, you're absolutely right. So in our plan, we had also addressed this as it related to fire and police and other services about knowing what's going on. So it does behoove us. And we had basically said, we're just going to set up a Facebook page that's going to have a calendar of events, and anybody can go there. It will be in public domain to see what we're having and when we're having, and offer ideas, or even be able to come forward and say, we are interested in booking the arena, or we have other activities. So that was absolutely part of our plan as well, and we absolutely will follow up on that commitment. We've not set it up yet, because obviously we're waiting for this and subsequent meetings and decisions before making any such Facebook or other public domain page.
Just came to mind. Do you guys have a business plan put together yet, or
that was pretty much what we submitted to Alvaro in the different phases. Now, that said, somebody could come forward and say, "Well, you know, I really want to book it for this goat series or some showmanship classes." And
sure,
some of that we really don't know until we reach out to the community.
Okay.
So we'll find out. The other thing I wanted to respectfully request is, when we talk in terms of time, in terms of a year or, you know, a 6-month review or whatever, is that we take a look at the seasonal aspect of our business. So we might only have 2 years or 2 months this year, because as soon as the rains hit, we're done. And then we might only have 6 months the following year. So to get to a year of operation could take us, at this point, almost 3 years or 2.5 years. So, you know, if you want to do a review after 2 months, we might only have a couple events, because even to start an event will take us approximately 30 days once we've cleared all of the permits and all of the conditions. So we have to add 30 days onto that. Given we're a May to November business, I would just caution you against how much results you're actually going to get by auditing our neighbors this time next year, because we just won't have a lot going on.
Right. I wouldn't think it would behoove anybody to try to get information following the closure of this initial year season, if that is to happen, if there is to be an initial. So I would think that we would require the first annual review following the first full year of operation.
Okay.
And by year, I mean a 12-month period.
Of business, yeah.
Exactly,
okay,
yeah, because
great.
I think it should be a seasonal review.
Okay, great, because
we
run into that with some other things as it relates to some of the other timing, and every time I see a year, Ken and I are always wondering, is that a calendar year or is that an operational year? Because to us, they're quite different, because we're only going to be open 6 months out of the year, possibly less, depending on if we have a late spring and an early fall, once the rains hit in that front pasture, if you know anything about that soil out there, there's no, I mean, you go in and you sink. So that is going to be composted, that's planted in hay, and it's harvested for half of the year. So it's not even an option to do anything in that area once we have any substantial rain event.
And in fact, I probably would be in favor of requiring an annual review, an initial annual review following January 1st, 2015, because that would be, unless we have some kind of extraordinarily weird weather conditions, I think that your first full year would have ended in November of 2014. That would give us then, clearly more than one complete year's operation to then review.
Yeah, so we'll probably have 2 months this year and 6 months next. So we'll be at 8 months in 2014, at the end of 2014.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, while she's up here, any other questions?
I just want to note that I think this is going to be a lot more successful than you think.
You
part of my family.
You and Merlin both.
Well, part of my, I mean, some personal
sure.
experience. Part of my family is in the horse business, but certainly does a lot of these events particularly. So there's a little bit of a firsthand knowledge. And the way you've set this up and laid it out and got it planned, I can't see this not being successful quicker than you think it's going to be. I think your number of 30 spectators is low. I think you're going to push that rather quickly within the first 12 months, without a doubt. So I think it's going to go rather fast.
Okay.
And I think as a commission, we might, or the planning department, keep that in mind as yourself, that the one-year review, whether it's 12 months, 15 months, 24 months from now, might be a floating number, per se, until you're ready. And I assume that it, at some point, even if we picked a date, you may want to come back to us at a certain time, say, hey, we'd like to do a review because we've really got some updated information. I assume that's possible. Or we set the date as well, like you were saying, Les. But I think you're going to go a lot quicker. This is something that the county's wanted and needed for a long time throughout. So I think that's going to be good.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am hereby closing the public comment period again officially and bringing it back to this body. Gentlemen, deliberations. Do you need any additional information from staff?
No, I don't. I do want to make one more statement, though, on the bottled water. I'm fine with the bottled water purchase, by the way, but I also think, given my previous statement just then, that you're going to go past the initial phase one where the county public health department is managing your public health issues, particularly water systems, and I think you may move into the public permitted, state permitted water system program quicker than you think, and I've actually gone through that process personally, doing that for the state, four systems in the last 4 years. It's not a difficult process, but it can be expensive and time consuming and a lot of paperwork, so you might want to think about that or put that in the record that's going to happen rather quickly. So the bottled water is not going to be an issue. You're going to probably be a permitted system given the success that's likely to occur.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Harder.
Yeah, I have a question of staff. Since we have two issues before us, the amendment to the general plan and a conditional use permit, is this one-year review part of the ordinance? Would that be an amendment or part of the conditional use?
If the amendment is adopted by the board and once it goes through the whole process, that's it for the amendment. The conditional use permit aspect would be the one that is getting reviewed annually.
Should there also then be the prerogative for the planning director to initiate a review upon public concern when brought to your attention, rather than waiting for a one-year annual review,
if necessary?
And
there's nothing that would preclude staff from bringing it if there's a violation of the conditions or of some other county code. We could bring it back to the Plan Commission for revocation, is typically what the process would be.
Yeah, a conditional use permit is just that, a permit with conditions, and it's up to the the applicant or the permit holder to make sure that they are always in compliance with those conditions, because if there is a, if there's a situation where there's non-compliance, that permit is revocable. So if it comes to our attention ever that there's, and it would have to be, you know, gross violation, we don't typically bring those actions back to the Planning Commission. We would always try to work with the applicant to notify them and bring them into compliance. But it is a situation where, or it is a permit where the Planning Commission could revoke the permit for non-compliance. So it is, the conditions need to be carefully thought out by staff originally, carefully considered by the commission before they're applied to a project.
Thank you. Okay, then. Commissioner Becker, do you have something to say?
Yes, I visited the area and talked to the neighbors, and the neighbors are for it, and it's a neat thing for Don Pedro. It's just down the street from the golf course, so it could be a win-win for everybody down there. And it just real excited to see it happen.
Well, I'm always excited when I hear about a project that can potentially bring people who are not Mariposa County residents into our county to drop a little bit of pocket change and then nicely go back home. in the most welcoming and magnanimous way possible.
They could stay and buy a few houses in Don Pedro,
that too. That, too. Yeah, wouldn't mind that. Commissioner?
I'm sorry, I got one more comment.
Sure, go right ahead. Never apologize. Just
I'm just used to it. Just in response to the comment we had this morning and how we address that, I think that the project, given its quiet time restrictions, the county lighting program restrictions, that night sky, that we're to the level we can, and to the level that the project can mitigate those potential impacts on not just this neighbor, but other neighbors. I mean, we're covering that overall. We happen to get one comment that specifically calls out that those are their concerns, and I think we have those policies and guidelines in place to mitigate those as much as possible. As you noted earlier, you know, nothing's perfect, but we're doing everything we can for the benefit of the whole. So. I'm good with that.
Right, and my interpretation of the comment that we received this morning is there is a big difference between the noise produced by a professional dirt bike track and or equestrian events. The other issue was dust, and I think that there has been a very practical approach in this project laid out to controlling dust. And, you know, I'm always concerned about water issues simply because it's going to be a bigger and bigger monster in the years to come. But I do believe that under the consideration and the use of this facility, which is going to be rather limited, I don't have a really big concern about water. So, gentlemen, do we have further deliberation, or are we ready to take action?
I think we're ready to take action.
Well, therefore, might we hear some potential action?
And before you take action in the motions, can we include the changes that the Planning Commission is okay with? And these changes had to do with changing hours for phase one. There was discussion about adding a condition requiring noticing to neighbors prior to the events season. There was a change to request it to condition number 22 regarding that last sentence for horse manure, which I think everyone was in agreement. There was a request to change condition number 16 regarding changing the time period from 3 years to 5 years for project implementation. And condition number 25, which the request was to allow the use of generators until 10 p.m.
And the further condition that I would like to stipulate, and that is a required annual review, and I think unless there is a concern about that, I do think that if we say at a time following January 1st of 2015, that will, I think that they are going to be getting this thing up and running as soon as they can. I do think that it will not be right for us or for them to require an annual review after this current season is over, because this current season is going to be very, very limited, and it will not really give a chance to shake the bugs out. So I really do think that being the season that it is, falling within the months that routinely it would be falling in, if we wait until the end of the use season of the year 2014, and to be on the safe side, simply say following January 1st, 2015, that would give us a an opportunity at that point for an annual review.
So what we might try to do is schedule that in the springtime before the event season started.
Absolutely. I think that it should be as soon as possible following January 1st in a regularly scheduled meeting. But that would be simply my language, if that makes sense, for a condition 31, a new condition.
And I think that can simply be addressed, condition number 26, upon completion of the first complete event season. That would take,
oh, right.
That would cover that next, essentially next year, May through November. So that first hearing would be after that November, potentially prior, or after January 1st, 2015.
Sure, no problem with that.
Mr. Chairman, don't we have two motions before us?
We do, but they be introduced in a single motion, or do we need to have two separate motions, one for the zoning, one for the CUP?
No, look on your packet page 10, I believe. It would be the cover page of the staff report. Your recommendation is there under commission action.
Right. All one.
This is not, final action is not today. You're making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I guess it still confused me that we were two separate issues, because the first one will be permanent addition to the land use. The second one will be applied upon application every time.
Well, the second one can take effect unless the zoning change is put into place, yeah. So, gentlemen, are we ready to entertain a motion?
Yeah, who wants to give this a shot, right? I'll give it a try.
Go right ahead, Commissioner Harris.
So I'd like to make a motion that that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution recommending that the Mariposa County Board of Supervisors, A, adopt a negative declaration for this project, and B, approve a general zoning amendment number 2013-053 with the recommended findings, and C, approve a conditional use permit number 2013-054 with the recommended findings and conditions as amended in today's meeting and documented by the planning department.
That nails it for me. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Harris. We have a second by Commissioner Harter. Is there any further discussion? In that case, I will call the question. All those in favor of this motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously of those present. Thank you very, very much. And now we'll move on to its next step. At this point, I would like to take a brief recess before we proceed. Let's make this about a 5-minute recess that will allow those who are here for the first item to clear the room if necessary and allow us a little breather. I'd like to resume at 10:15.
Mr. Chairman, you didn't give the audience an opportunity to applaud.
They can do that with item letter B, amended conditions 2013-045, First Baptist Church of Mariposa. Eileen, good morning. This is yours.
Good morning. Thank you. As you just said, we have a request for amended conditions for number 2013-045. Applicant is First Baptist. Agent is Floyd Davis. The project is located at 5005 Frank Wilson Road and is also known as APN 012-142-025. The request is to amend the conditions of approval for conditional use permit 259 issued on July 20th, 2001. CUP 259 was subsequently amended by the Planning Commission on August 8th, 2003. July 23rd, 2004, and on May 6, 2011. This is actually where the location is. This is Highway 49, and this is where the church is. The applicant is requesting that condition number 42, which is the completion of the driveway, parking lot, and landscaping improvements as required by conditions number 26 through 31, be installed by May 6, 2017, which is the amended completion date of all the phases instead of the current December 1st, 2013. The applicant is also requesting condition number 43, requiring a monthly deposit of $3,500, be modified such that an average of $3,500 per month be deposited through May 6, 2017, instead of the current December 1st, 2013. Condition number 43 was added on May 6, 2011. This provided the applicants the opportunity to deposit their monthly rent of $3,500 per month into a fund for construction and landscaping costs in exchange for a temporary CVO, certificate of occupancy, at their current location. And they have since received their certificate of occupancy. They've also requested that condition number 44, which requires bi-monthly written reports to the planning department of those monthly deposits, be extended until May 6, 2017. I would like to take you on a tour now as to what they've actually done and what is left to be done. Any place where that's in yellow is pavement. This is the road coming in on Frank Wilson. This is the back parking lot and the front of the building. Anything in green are areas that are to be landscaped. This is the entrance at Frank Wilson. The asphalting that they put in, which goes up and around, and up to the top. Over here, hello. You'll see a sign, parking sign, which goes to the back. This area is graveled at this point, and this is to be also paved. You can see they've already put in the concrete back here, handicap accessibility. We have one of the outdoor lights that's been installed, and an area to get into the church for the disabled. We're back over here at the parking where we went off to the left, going to the top, and we're going to go around the front of this now. This is where the pavement actually stops. And just to put you back in perspective, we're somewhere in this area here, and now we're going to go around, and I will take you around the backside on this way. This is the area they're still needing to work on. That would either be paving or landscaping, the front of the church, and again, too quick. Go back. All right. What I wanted to show you. Oops. Stop. Is the fact that we also have a light out here in the front. Wait a minute. Excuse me. We are out of sync with. Back to where I'm supposed to be. My apologies. Let's go here. I'm having problems here. Okay. Sorry about that. We're coming around the front.
And just so I can orient, the church itself is to our left off-frame?
Exactly. This is the front entrance here. This area out here would be area that would either be landscaped or paved. And we do have another light here that has been installed. Coming around the side, we have a little play area here. And here we come around the back, which we saw from the other side through the parking. And the concrete that has been put in here. Now I'm going to take you to the inside of the building to show you what's been done there. Once again, we're at the front entrance. And through the doors. To the right, you see a nursery. And they do have a nursery set up for different age children. They have classrooms for their Sunday classes. Library. The church itself. An area for parents to have their children in a more private setting and still be able to see the service. They've installed a handicap lift, which I've been told was several thousand dollars. That was quite a chunk. For baptisms. Kitchen. Community room. The staff analysis of this. The proposed amended conditions of approval are designed to allow the applicant flexibility to raise large amounts of funds over a short period of time, fulfilling the intent of the condition to deposit $3,500 a month for the development. The applicant has shown good faith in depositing to date $206,653.93, which is the equivalent of 59 months of deposits over the past 25 months, beginning in June 1st, 2011. In light of the accomplishments, the applicant has made to date, staff is recommending that condition number 43 require the applicant to deposit $3,500 per month, average over 1 year, rather than the 4 year period as they've requested, and that this requirement to remain in place until the project conditions are satisfied, as opposed to the May 6, 2017 date as requested. Condition number 44, to continue requiring a bi-monthly report to planning showing the funds have been deposited into the account to ensure that the funds do average the $3,500 per month over a 12-month period. This condition to remain in place until the project conditions are satisfied, as opposed to the May 6, 2017 as requested. Staff does support extending the time period for condition 44 for the completion of the driveway, parking lot, and landscape improvements until May 6, 2017. And I will note at this point that there have not been any comments received from any public, and anything that we received from agencies were positive. Environmental review. The Planning Commission had adopted a mitigated negative deck for conditional use permit number 259 on July 20th, 2011. A finding must be made that the project's amended conditions do not add impacts or mitigation, and a new mitigated negative deck is not required to be recirculated or approved. Based upon the conditions applied to the request, it is staff's determination that the project will not create impacts which were not previously reviewed and addressed by the environmental determination. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Eileen. Gentlemen, do you have any questions for Eileen? None? At this point, then, I would like to thank you for that report. Very nicely done. And I would like to open it up for public comment. I see Floyd here this morning. Floyd, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Les. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Floyd Davis. I live at 4491 Mariposa Creek Circle, Mariposa, California. I am the acting agent. I have been attending First Baptist Church for a little over a year. And I am a registered civil engineer, and I also have my American Planning Institute certification from the American Planning Association. Once I found out the conditional use permit was activated and in place, and reviewing it, I saw this condition at 42, in which we had a November 30th deadline. Upon my recommendation to Pastor John Trujillo, I said, we need to get before the Planning Commission before this deadline. I says, we need to show them that we made a good faith effort in trying to comply to it, but because of the downturn in the economy and other events that happened from time to time with large church, that we were not able to meet that, or not, will not be able to meet that deadline. So outside of that, that was the reason for my recommendation to John, and John signed a letter having me acting as the agent, and I moved forward with the application, which is before you today. I concur with all staff's recommendations, and it's exactly what we discussed. I have no other comments or problems unless the commissioners have a question on me.
Gentlemen? Nothing? Well, and I hate to tip my hand. I always hate to tip my hand, but I gotta tell you, I'm so impressed with the work that I've been up there, and the work that has been done and what is being done is so impressive to me. And also, I really, really do thank you, Floyd, for coming forward and taking care of this well before the deadline and not after the fact, which, you know, always is certainly not the best circumstance we would want. And so at the risk of sounding way too complimentary, I just want to say thanks.
You're welcome.
And I don't have any questions either.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to address us on this item? None? I will thereby close the public comment period. Gentlemen, do you have any additional questions for staff, or may we plunge right ahead into deliberations? Thoughts? Are you ready? Perhaps even introduce a motion. Well, have right at it.
I'll jump in here. I mean, this is a pretty straightforward request. I make a motion that Planning Commission adopt a resolution with findings approving the request for the amended conditions.
We have a motion by Commissioner Harris. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Becker. Is there any further discussion? Seeing no interest in that, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of this motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? None. The motion passes 4-0. Thank you so much. And you know, keep up the great work. So I want to say.
That might have been a record.
That could have been a record, yeah. But, you know, and this has nothing to do with you. You guys are done. But I have to tell you, Eileen, there was one thing that I neglected to mention earlier, and I want to say it, but the thing that has come up is that wonderful specter, that wonderful presence of Bob. Because what I was going to say simply is congratulations on the action that has seen you as a full planner, or as a planner. And I thought, but that's not what Bob would have said. Bob would have said, well, little girl, congratulations, because the board made an honest woman of you. So in honor of you, but even more in honor of Bob, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And with that, thank you for coming in. We are now going to move right ahead with information items. Oh, I'm sorry. It's still getting used to this electronic format. Let me go back to my first page, find it. Action items. Yes, I'm so sorry. We do need to take action to cancel our planned July 26th meeting. Do we have a motion to do so? We have a motion from Commissioner Harder to cancel our July 26th, 2013 Planning Commission meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Harris. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? None. It passes 4-0. Now we can move along to information items. Staff, Sarah.
All right. As far as advisory committee meetings, we have Fish Camp, Saturday, July 20th at 9:30. meeting is scheduled and noticed that'll be at Tenaya. Then in August, Mid Pines regular meeting is Tuesday, August 6th at 6 o'clock. Mid Pines is making good and steady progress on their community input portion of their plan. And hopefully we'll be having something to show for that in the next number of weeks. And we'll be sharing that with you as well as the Board of Supervisors. Historic Sites and Records Preservation Commission will be meeting in August on the 12th, which is the second Monday at 10 o'clock. As far as the Planning Commission's next meeting, that will be the first meeting in August. We will only have three commissioners, so I'd ask the other remaining commissioners to make sure you keep us on your calendar for that day. If we have anybody who's absent, we won't be able to have a meeting that day.
As long as there's cookies.
As long as there's cookies, yeah. And I'm not sure what items we have scheduled yet for that meeting, so it's a little early for us to be noticing. Board of Supervisors actions on Tuesday, well, I'll back up because we haven't met, the commission hasn't met since the 21st. On the 25th, we had the appeal hearing. That was on an appeal of my determination made back in January to rescind authorization for permits that were not yet issued for Coyote Springs Ranch for one of the parcels that previously comprised a portion of Coyote Springs Ranch. Those permits were not issued. It's been 4.5 years since the board authorized those permits. The board denied that appeal, and then just this past Tuesday, they formalized their action with a resolution. And we'll see if anything else happened. That's the final county action regarding that appeal. The board also took action on a second mitigation measure that was required to finally remove or demolish the buildings that are across the street from the government center on Bullion. There were two mitigation measures that were adopted for the demolition. One was to require removal of the White House, which has been done. The second mitigation measure was to determine whether or not there was any salvageable remaining items on the remaining two structures, and a contract was issued on Tuesday to someone who's going to take remaining salvageable items, and then after that the county will cause the structures to be demolished, so that site will be different. You already heard Eileen has been promoted to assistant planner. That's news. She's been doing a lot of the work already, but it's official as of the 9th. So she's our new assistant planner. We will be recruiting for her position, which is planning tech. And then we have been recruiting for the associate planner, and I expect to get a list from human resources. I thought I might have it this week, but hopefully we'll have some new faces downstairs soon. I think I told you about the application we'd made for Sierra Business Council for a greenhouse gas study. We were successful with that application. I received notice a couple of weeks ago, and that study will have interns down here actually doing a quantitative analysis. It'll result in a baseline study, it'll give us a baseline information for current conditions for greenhouse gases. It'll be something that we will be able to use for future environmental review documents that require that we evaluate a project's impacts on greenhouse gases. So that's very, very good news. We'll be having kickoff meetings on that in early August, and I'll keep you all informed. It's a project that we will be working, planning will be working with transportation planning, air pollution control district, solid waste, probably even park service on. So that was exciting. And I think that's it for my announcements.
Well, I wish
short and sweet. Gentlemen, do you have any questions? Wow. It just feels so terribly abrupt. But I suppose, to bring it back into its proper place, I will hereby adjourn this meeting in memory of our dear friend, Bob Ruzick.
Thank you.
Thank you.